I remember it was like school was starting, and then at one point Caden is like just sitting in my room with me, like as he was at this point, and he looks over and he's like, I want to try something. And then it was December and Christmas was happening, and I was failing classes I'd never failed and passing classes I'd never passed, and I had friends I did not know.
Wow.
It was very like out of my body for like months.
In a mind-blowing conversation with Jenny's friend Ollie, we learn about how they are full of ghosts. They explain how it all got started with a terrifying middle school encounter with a presence that never went away. In fact, they only got closer, and then came the time gapping and the body swapping and returning different new friends, weight loss, and other inexplicable changes that Ollie didn't make. Time for some rules. Come learn how Ollie has learned to live with what they call the followers. We're putting a trigger warning on this episode for SI and violent content.
Okay, meow meow. Well, welcome. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to this special next guest episode. Today we have Ollie with us. Ollie, do you prefer just first name, or can we do first name,
yeah,
last name? I don't know.
Probably
just first. First name.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that works.
Info.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today, Ollie. Ollie and I have been friends for quite a while now. We met online, and we've had many spoopy encounters together throughout the various times we've hung out. And it just made sense to bring Ollie on the show and talk through things a little bit. So Ollie, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm here to be spooky and talk about spooky stuff.
You came to the right place.
Heck yes. So I guess we can just start with brief and basic introductions. If there's just anything that you are comfortable sharing with us about yourself. I have outlined questions to get us going, but this is my first time hosting a guest episode, so I'm like, what am I doing? So sure. I guess you can just start with whatever you feel comfortable sharing with us about yourself.
Let's see. I'm Ollie. I'm 27. I've been dealing with spooky things my whole life, but it really amped up around like middle school, late middle school, early freshman year of high school, I guess, is when things were like, hey, like, come look at me, and it's great. That's the outline, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good outline.
I guess you could say I carry some ghosts around. Full of ghosts, just like you can be full of beans. So I always preface stuff with, you don't have to believe me or the things I'm about to say or talk about, but like, here's my experience, take it or leave it. Like, I can't give you anything else. So,
yeah.
And if you want to chalk things up to mental illness, I also always tell people that's fine. If people are more comfortable thinking of me as mentally ill than thinking of the dead walking around, like, I can't stop you. Go for it. I won't be offended. It's easier. Like
yeah.
I also chalk it all up to mental illness. So
it's a lot easier for other people to swallow that pill that way sometimes, but I think this is definitely the space for us to have these conversations.
Oh yeah.
This is the space for believers, if you will, with your poster that says, I believe with the alien. So yeah, you definitely are full of ghosts. And that's definitely the main reason I had you on here today. I guess we'll just start with, you said that it started with you around middle school and high school. What would you say was the defining moment of when things started getting spooky?
So around after like eighth grade going into ninth, like my freshman year of high school, I moved to California, and it was super traumatizing. Like, I left every friend I've ever had. My parents were bullshit. So it was very like, where's my support structure? My cat's trying to get in here.
Oh, no, cats are welcome.
All cats are welcome.
All over all the buttons. But so the summer between those 2 years, I started having all these really, really vivid nightmares. And it was always like this one thing just chasing. And I was telling my friend Sky about this because I was like, this is the last night I'm ever staying at your house. Here's this crazy stress thing I'm dealing with. And we're sitting on her bed up in her room, and then I look to the left, and there is the person I've been dreaming about sitting on the bench. Oh. And it was so clear that I screamed and threw myself off the bed and almost hit my head on a closet door. And she's just like, what? And I'm like, you don't look. I don't know how to explain the thing I just saw. Wow. And then it started with that person. That was the first one that kind of stuck around. But this person slowly over time would get like almost like closer and more consistent to like just being here, to the point where like eventually he just stopped leaving. And that's fine. He's a lot better now and not giving me weird night terrors. But it's definitely been a long road.
Cause it was super spooky for you in the beginning, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
With the nightmares were really vivid and scary. So when he first popped up, it was like bad news.
Exactly. Like every night, like I dreamt of dying in like some of the worst ways I've never imagined before.
Really?
It was terrible. Like, and I was having these nightmares of like, and this is trigger warning. But I was having these nightmares of like dying in a bathtub in a very specific way, like over and over and over again at one point. And then it turns out like that's what happened to this person. And so it was very like, I was really scared. And then at one point it was like, it just started talking and it just had so many opinions and things to say. And he's fine now. He's still around. Like, the same one is still around. And yeah.
That's when this is this, so what's the name for this person?
He's Caden.
It is Caden? Okay. Because Caden's the one that I've known about, and Caden's the one that I've had the most interactions with. So it's fair to say Caden's the one who's been with you the longest since then. But more have gotten attached, which I think we will talk about, but I did kind of want to talk about Caden for a second. Mm-hmm. I remember when you first got attached to Caden, you had told me about a story of like you time gapping where you kind of lost a period of time. Did you want to talk about that at all?
So I remember it was like school was starting, and then at one point Caden is like just sitting in my room with me, like as he was at this point. And he looks over and he's like, I want to try something. And then it was December and Christmas was happening and I was failing classes I'd never failed and passing classes I'd never passed. And I had friends I did not know.
Wow.
It was very like out of my body for like months that I can't f-ing remember.
And was it just like
you could chop it up to something traumatic happened, but it was very like, I remembered what was happening before and I could understand what was happening after, but there was like this gap of like, what the fuck happened and who the fuck am I now? Like, I'd lost like a lot of weight. It was a lot. And that was like a big deal. And then I realized like, oh, I wasn't driving. Caden, this thing that's been following me around was driving for all this time. Like I was going by a different name in school, like a very like androgynous name, which at least it was that and not like he named me Tom or something. Cause that would have slapped at the time. And then, oh gosh, what was I gonna say? And then it happened more, but for much shorter times for a while. Like, I was like, we can, if you're ever doing this again, there's boundaries. Like, you can't just take over my life. We're not having that kind of like horror show dynamic. And like, it was interesting to set boundaries with something that was arguing with them, but like wouldn't break them. And that's kind of when I decided Caden was like a decent person, I guess, just very confused about stuff. Cause it's like, he didn't do it to try and steal my life. He was like, I want to try something. And it was almost like getting stuck in place. And that was definitely scary. But we had several long conversations after that first time, and we kind of came up with like a contract type deal. Like, here are the rules, here are my expectations, like, here are the things you can do if you respect these expectations. Like, you want a chocolate cookie? Like, we can do that. I don't like chocolate. Like, it's very like negotiating. And then the next summer I met this girl who I was friends with, and she looked me in the eye shortly after we met, like hours after we met. We were at a pool, and she says, "You see them too, huh?" And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "You have someone following you." And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not literally insane. Like, it was this like crazy moment of like, oh, this is real and valid. And then I realized she had something following her, and I could see it sometimes. And it had a name, but I'm just going to call it Jay, because hers was not okay with boundaries and negotiating. And then since then, I've met probably like six or more people that also carried things with them and would, like, we call it like swapping. But they all are like, yes, these were people that are dead. Like, we are all completely in agreement. Like, we have memories, like, we've had like the same like circumstances, kind of like someone showed up one day, or there was a series of bad dreams, and like they just detached. Caden used to do this more, but he struggles with it now. He can do it sometimes, but he used to be able to look at people and see like all the colors and I guess aura stuff, which I've never seen, and I've never really been an aura person, but he is. And at one point we were working with someone we knew, and we were out on the street, and Caden looks at me and he's like, there's something wrong with that person. Like, they have like, it's weird. Like, there's a certain number of colors and certain types, and he's not himself right now. And so I look at this person who's my friend, who I've been like being trained at this position by, and I'm like, who are you right now? And the look on his face. And suddenly I was meeting his boyfriend to tell him what I said and how many people I saw in him, because he'd never had any validation externally before. And it just became this thing where over and over again, like, we would know things about each other we shouldn't. Like, anyone who's had this situation, like, similar enough to me, like, we've been able to, like, look at each other and, like, get scenes. Like, whether it's from things that we carry or people that we carry, or, like, from each other. Like, I've looked at people and seen, like, memories from their childhood. Like, I had an ex that was like me and like us, and he looked at me and described, like, moments from my past that I've never told anyone about, like, down to, like, details. So, like, it's had this weird external validation that's, like, really hard for me to, like, chalk things up to mental illness, if that makes sense. So,
yeah, well, I mean, and especially with knowing what we know about the spirit world and everything, mm-hmm. it makes a lot of sense. You haven't told me that it was like six people that you've met. I had no idea it was that many people that you've met. Yeah, you've mentioned your ex with me before, but wow, that's a lot of people. And mm-hmm. we also glossed over the fact that Caden can do, like, see people's auras. Do you know if the other entities that had people attached to them had similar abilities, or like were able to see similar things?
So I haven't found anyone else that has anyone with them that can do aura stuff specifically. Okay. I've met some people who, there was one person who would tell me whenever I'd had a nightmare the night before, like that meant something. And like it always without fail, like something would happen where I'd be like, oh, this is like the moment that that was about. Like, or I had a friend who sometimes she'd just randomly like start crying when looking at people. And I'm like, what's going on with you? And she's like, they're going to lose someone really soon. And without fail, like they would, like we would hear them the next week. Wow. Like, I can't come in. Like someone died. Like, and it was always really like on it. Like she's upset and now she's, here we go. Someone's dead. Like it was crazy.
Wow.
But other than those, I can't really think of anything specific that would fit that kind of like weird spooky ability.
Yeah.
So first off, thank you so much for being willing to share that. And just as you have come across folks who are experiencing the same thing, please know that there's lots and lots and lots of people are having this experience. So I'm validating for sure. I've had a couple of friends where I could tell when it wasn't them. There's something different in their eyes. And I just knew, yeah, I wasn't talking to my friend anymore. And sometimes it would be benign. And one particular time it was decidedly not benign. And so my question for you is, did anybody... Or do they notice when it's Camden or Camden?
Caden.
Oh, Caden. Thank you. Sorry, Caden. So when Caden drops in, do your friends, you know, who know you pretty well, can they tell when he's driving?
Yeah. Yeah. He walks different than me. His handwriting is nicer than mine. He kind of talks a little different. I don't want to say he's like, he sounds like he constantly knows a little too much when he speaks, in that like I know something kind of way. Like he's very, I don't want to say cocky, but he's kind of an ass like that sometimes.
Okay.
But there's definitely been moments where like I stepped back and stepped out, and then Caden was here, and I'm just like, sometimes it's like I can observe and just keep an eye, like out of body kind of vibes.
Yeah.
And there's definitely been times when someone like looked at me that knew and was like, hey, which one? Like, and it's always like, he makes a game of it. We had for a while, it was right here, like a little notepad where he keeps track of people who caught him. And those are people he has to try harder around to not get caught. Because a lot of the times he's like, I have a goal right now. And my goal is, say, to have a nice cup of coffee. And if you talk to me, I have to acknowledge that I'm a different person and we have to catch up. And so it's he tries not to get noticed a lot of the time, but it's more for entertainment than anything like malevolent.
Right.
Okay,
so... And if I can kind of follow on that for a second, and Jenny, I know you probably know all of this, so I'm just going to play the, you know, the person in the audience and the questions that I think that maybe they might have. So he was human, and something, he died horribly. Do you know when he passed over?
I have a Google Drive full of like little instances that I've written down where he's like, I remember doing this when I was around this age. Okay. So we have like an estimation. When people come back, what I found is they do not come back entirely. They come back more as like this amalgamation of like the most important things. So we've tried, like, he remembers his birthday. He's born on November 11th in the 90s, early 90s. He's not that much older than me. Like, he would have been, I think, 3 or 4 years older than me. It's been a while since I've, like, looked at the math or bothered. But he died at 18, 19.
Wow.
And so he's very, not the year, but like the age.
Right, just right.
But he, hi, Kat. He's very, kind of, I don't want to say trauma-based, because it's sad to refer to someone as trauma-based, but he holds a lot of, like, not great memories, so I'm sure there's a lot that he hasn't told me about that I could use more, maybe, but I'm not here to, like, tell a dead person, hey, like, describe it, like, and so we, there have been moments where he's told me something, and I've looked into things, and I feel like I've gotten close to finding him. But it was in ways that I didn't want to look into too hard. Like, he told me at one point something happened with his brother, and his brother hurt somebody. And that if I wanted to find him, I should look into that, because it was probably in a newspaper. And I was able to find a scenario where someone was found hurt in the exact way he described. And it was in the newspaper. And, like, all of the questions he said would be asked were asked in the article based on how it happened. And so I think I have the article saved somewhere, but it's, like, some...
Animals always come to our sessions, Ollie, so this is not unusual at all. They want to participate.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway. Here you
hey,
go.
Buddy. Hi, sweetheart.
But yeah, it's we've done a lot of research to try to find everybody, and there's definitely things we've gotten close. Like Ash, I've told Jenny a little about Ash. I think he has memories of war. He's told me things about Vietnam that I have had to go look up and validate, and have validated every time. He has memories of, like, a wife who was dying of cancer. Like, he has all these, like, things. And one of the only location things he's ever been able to remember is he mentioned Fort McKinley, which is on the East Coast in Maine, and real, and exists. And let me tell you, I failed history every year of my life. So... So it felt very like, oh, you know things I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's been hard to find them, because it's hard to, like, piece together a puzzle when you're missing so many pieces and still know the whole picture, right. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's something that I don't think that we think a lot about when, you know, because so many of us have exchanges with people who've passed over, and we don't necessarily think about what their, you know, like, what their situation is. So certainly they're gonna carry the trauma forward, because it's usually, I mean, the assumption is that's why they're still here, right? Is like something kind of horrible happened, and then they got caught in a loop. Is that how you feel about the folks that you're dealing with?
It depends. So it's, they all have theories. It's what's fun.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Like, Ash, for the longest time, thought that I was a form of, like, purgatory. And what better purgatory than being stuck in the body of a teen girl?
That's both hysterical and breaks my heart. Like,
right.
Wow.
He's doing a lot better now. But Caden, for a while, thought that I was, like, hell, like, literal hell.
Because there was no ability to have autonomy, or what were they?
Right, at first, yeah. It was that, like, I'm stuck to this person. I have to sit here and witness whatever happens, and, like, I can't leave is very much the vibe for people who first show up. And I don't want to say it's not like a Stockholm syndrome, I swear. But we do, it's like you get used to each other, and you realize, like, if someone is around and they're going to be around, like, you make it work.
Yeah. How long after you got connected with Caden did Ash show up?
Let's see. That was, like, my freshman year, and then probably... I messed up the timeline, by the way. I moved between freshman and sophomore year. I always mess it up and say it was between middle school. I met Ash sophomore year. So he was probably within, it was like spring going into my junior year. So probably like 6 months after like the December incident. Like half a year or so. And Ash, there were no dreams. There was like not really a warning. Like I was just sitting in like on the stage outside at lunch one day, and there he was just standing in the distance watching ominously.
I've had many of those. Yeah, so right. How did he connect with you?
I'm like, oh, it's just a ghost. It's fine. And then he like approaches and I'm like, shit. Here we go. Like, it's always fine when you're off in the distance. It's when they can't pay rent that it's an issue.
Oh man. Was there like permissions or anything? Was there any conversation around their involvement in your life?
They have tried to leave.
Okay.
We eventually, everyone asks to try, just because who wants to be stuck to another person? But it was like, we've tried, like Caden has tried to leave. At one point I was working, when Caden had been around for like a few years, I started working, I was like 17, 18, and we were at work, and I remember turning and seeing like the shape of this thing come in through the front door. And I remember it was this big lumbering thing dragging like a shape behind it that just kind of faded into nothing. Like it was holding something and then it faded away, but it was obviously heavy to this thing. And then I remember it looked towards me and then looked at Caden, and then Caden was gone for several weeks. And that was the only time Caden's ever been like away. Like he, it's kind of like going to sleep. Like you can turn off, if that makes sense. But that was the only time he's ever been gone, and all he remembers is that it was dark and he was cold.
Wow.
So like I don't want to send them into that if they're not ready for that. Yeah. And so that is the framework we base it off of. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and so Caden's around pretty much all the time, which I know from you. Mm-hmm. Would you say it's the same for Ash?
Ash, it feels like Ash sleeps a lot more, and I feel like maybe that's because he's from so much longer ago. I feel like he has less like tether to hold on to, or had less tether to hold on to when he like created that like bond kind of deal. And so it's almost like he's just an old man. He's got to sleep somewhere, you know? and then there's also River, who is probably the spookiest and most ominous. If anyone was ever going to go poltergeist on me, it would be him. And I mean that in a friend way. But he came around, honestly, only like 6 years ago. So when I was like 21, I was already in Colorado. And he has just been ominous and vague ever since. He's the one I know the least about. He's the one who talks to me the least about his personal life. He'll ask all the questions in the world of anyone who's willing to talk to him and meet him. But if you were gonna say one of them was like a spirit guide, Caden might be my spirit like friend or brother. River is probably the guide. He's the one who's like, something's weird is happening in the world, you need to like burn this and light this. And he's big into spooky stuff on his own end. Like he goes places he won't tell me about. Gosh, I forget the question, but
well, so, it's so I was going to say, so since we're talking about River now, it's good to know that River was the third. It seems like River has more control, question mark, or like agency is the word I'm looking for in this situation. Like, it seems like River has a more footing with this. Because, yeah, River's the one that I also know the least about between the three of these people. And I'm sure it's because you know the least.
That is biased.
So I am just... Yes. So it's just interesting that, like, Caden very much seems trapped here. And then Ash is the same, but then River's different than that.
Yeah, he won't tell me where he goes, but he goes places. So who knows?
Okay.
Yeah, he's definitely the freest. Like, Caden used to be kind of similar. Like, he, when he first started coming around, and after that first friend was like, hey, they're real, I started doing experiments with Caden, actually. I don't know if I've told you about this, but I would Skype my friend Sky, who was the first person that, like, he was ever, like, in the room. Like, when I met him, when I first saw him, we were in her room. So he'd been there. And I was like, can you go back there? And he's like, maybe I can try. And so we would sit on Skype, and my friend would say, like, hey, like, I rearranged my room while you've moved. Like, you haven't seen it. What's on the back of my door right now? And Caden would kind of flicker away, and then he'd come back and he'd tell me, and it was correct. She had three iron rings in a diagonal line on the back of her door now, like keys. He was able to tell me what pants she was wearing under the Skype call. He was able to tell me where the fan was in her room, that she'd gotten it from her brother's room, like, all kinds of, like, crazy specific stuff, like what books were on the bookshelf, like, all kinds of, like, crazy stuff. And then over time, it's almost like he became more and more reliant on me to see the world. I have a theory that it's about, like, the more distance you are from your own life, the more, like, your bond with the world weakens, and so you have to use other people to kind of fuel and experience your experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And over time, he's just slowly stopped being able to go places. Or there was a time where I had this ex who wasn't great, and he knew about Caden, and at one point he was sitting in the car yelling at me for something. It was like a political opinion too, something totally stupid, but I was enraged. And we're sitting in the car, and behind us is the street light of the apartment office building. And he looks into the mirror, and I just watch his entire face go white. And he's like, get out of my car. And I'm like, what? And he's like, get out of my car. And I got out of the car, and he drove away. And later he called me and was like, I saw something terrible standing behind the mirror watching me angrily. And it was Caden. And he saw Caden as a big black shadow with blazing yellow eyes. And so it's very, like, so many people outside of me have, like, validated this weird thing. And validated, like, back when Caden could, like, walk away. He's high-fived someone before, which was so exciting. We were sitting in bed late one night, me and a friend from high school, and we'd just been watching scary movies. So I'm like, do you want to see something really freaky? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, hold up your hand for, like, a while. Just let him try. And she's like, is what? And I'm like, there's a ghost. He's going to smack your hand over and over again till it sticks. And she's like, okay. And so she just sat there, trusting me blindly. And we sit there in the dark, and I watch Caden just go through. And then we hear, and then she screams at the top of her lungs. Her mom bursts in. She's like, what's going on? We're like, we're watching horror movies. I'm so sorry. But there have been all these weird moments back when he used to be able to just walk around that I'm like, here's my validation, but I wish you could still do all this stuff. So, like, that's part of why I have that philosophy of, like, if you want to chalk it up to mental illness or whatever else, like, that's fine, because I can only prove so much right now. Like, till someone new comes along with a little bit stronger of a bond who can tell me crazy shit, like, here I am.
Yeah, well, and I've always, because I've had conversations through you with Caden before, you know, and we've interacted before. And so the I have always been curious. Yes, the psychoanalysis. He's so good at it. And it's so good.
Wait, what?
Caden's very good at psychoanalyzing people in situations. And like, he will give readings of me and what I'm going through that are brutally honest, but because I'm me, I love that crap. And I'm like, yes, this is so accurate. So we'll play. Go ahead, Ollie.
It's almost like this little game where Jenny says something about herself that is upsetting to herself. And Caden's like, well, yeah, that's because you this and that and also this other thing. And she's like, thanks. Like, he's a rude little man. He with no bedside manner. Like, I think part of the reason he does it, though, is like he has so much time to watch people. Like through me without being part of a conversation, that he's just gotten really good at it, and good at like understanding like what people are feeling and where they're coming from, and like because he's literally just watching people all the time, you know. When there's nothing else on TV, you learn a lot about the characters.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and it makes sense that that's like his main form of entertainment. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. So Caden. So I guess I want to recap for a second, unless Trey has more questions.
Oh, I could talk to you forever, but please carry on.
Well, I was just going to recap with like ages and stuff of the different entities, but I am curious because like my main purpose behind doing this is to get Ollie and Trey, like you two connected, because, you know, on one hand, I have somebody who experiences entities all the time. And on the other hand, I have somebody who can channel that and talk and clear and, you know, and assess situations. So I've always just been curious about what would happen when you two meet and interact. And yeah. So please, Trey, if you have something, please.
So I'm curious. So oftentimes folks don't know why something attaches to them. And when I was younger and just getting into this game, it was all so random, and that's what was so frustrating to me, is I felt like I had no control over it, and the different levels of, I'm going to call it interference, and it took me a really long time to figure out how to hold my space, and it doesn't mean I don't still see things or talk to things, but I've gotten so much better about stopping things from attaching themselves to me. So what is your experience around that?
My experience around?
Around like holding your space and then only six things? Because there's, you know, there's millions out there. Lots of things could have created this relationship with you. Like, why these, do you suppose?
So a lot of the people that will attach to me have had issues with, like, in life, their mental health. Origins. I think the reason that I deal with all the things I deal with, at least for me personally, like, everyone can have their own reason, I'm sure. I was super not supposed to be born. and that sounds really morbid, but I'm talking, my mother was on birth control, used a condom, had a miscarriage 2 months before I was born, according to doctors. And then there was a September snowstorm, a car crash, and I happened.
Wow.
So I think there's definitely this like connection between me and whatever death might be. Because I am a little bit of life that shouldn't have. But that's just my personal theory. Like, who knows? Maybe it's some weird, like, my ions vibrate at the wrong science, you know? As far as the things that are attached to me, they all have, like, very traumatic memories. And if we want to go, like, the empathetic theory, I guess, would be that like they need someone who understands that, or maybe they're here to teach me to understand that. The non-empathetic theory is if you throw enough glue at something, something's gonna stick sometime.
There's that, right? That it really is just random, and you walk by the wrong store at the wrong time, and now there you go.
Yeah, saw the wrong dead guy. Made eye contact, shouldn't have.
Yep. Oh yeah, lots of that. Lots of that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, for each of these people, did they get attached to you relatively soon after their what they perceived as their death, or was there in between time?
No, so Ash has been dead for like a while. Like he was, he remembers some stuff about Vietnam and the war and his wife. We think he was in his like late 30s, early 40s when he did what he did. But he would have got it would have been, I don't even remember the year we picked for it. But it would have been like shortly after Vietnam, like. So it had been a while for him, and he was just like, I'm somewhere now. So I kind of have this small theory, I'm not super sure I buy into it yet, that things fall out of the place they're supposed to be going, kind of like falling off the side of a high road. And then they can end up places where they have to stick to people. But who knows?
Okay.
Yeah, I think well, that there's I guess that was a billion one. Reasons.
Right.
Yeah. And usually for me, it's the trauma makes it harder for them to see literally the light, you know, the light, go into the light. Like they can't see the light. They can't find the light. And they end up, and some people are willfully wanting to stick around, you know, unresolved business or what have you. But yeah, usually the most traumatic deaths are the ones where they just get lost. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, Ash definitely has said more than once, I still got some shit to figure out. So
fascinating. All right. And for him to think that he has the, the capacity to, how do I put this? Sorry, give me just one second, you guys. Like humans, we have lots and lots of resources around us to ask the questions and to have the embodied progress around our issues, whereas he doesn't have that embodied thing. So I'm curious about him. I'm assuming it's a psychological thing, that there's things that he wants to figure out. Has he been able to connect to that? Like,
we have different ideas about this.
Okay.
He thinks he's still around because he's just too angry to die.
You know what? I'm not gonna say that he's wrong.
I know.
Rape is fear and depressions, and those are common, you know?
Right. I think he's just too sad to let go. And I'm not here to fix that for him, and I'm not here to make him be fixed. So until he's ready to talk about it, you know? He's fine.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a lot of stuff I don't have real answers for, but I have a lot of theories.
Of course. Well, of course, because this is something you've been dealing with without prior knowledge and prior experience. It's just this thing that happened to you. Hey, this thing that happened to all of you, it seems like. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
And I always feel that theories are based on instinct, and instinct is just psychic, you know, insights.
Right.
I buy your theories, every single one of them, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I'm curious if, because it seems like Ash very much has some unresolved things. River is this entity who can flow freely. Do you feel like Caden has unresolved things, or do you think it's just is how it is now?
I think it's just how it is. I feel like maybe he had some unresolved stuff originally, but when he talks about stuff from before now, it's very like, this is something that did happen to me, not like what's actively happening, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like of anyone who's made the most like mental and emotional process, it'd probably be Caden. Progress, not process. But he, like, there's things that they've learned, and that's something that's really interesting to me. Like, Ash was in Vietnam and is from a very different time and had opinions from a very different time for a while. And like, that's something where he has changed. Like, he's no longer problematic in certain ways. And it's interesting to see that like happen.
He's gotten over his love of Clearance, Clearwater revival, and Better Taste in Music.
No, he's not actually. He has a playlist. I'll send it to you guys because it's funny.
Well, that brings up a question that you brought up earlier, because you brought up how, you know. So first of all, do any of the other two, Ash or River, do they swap places with you? And does Caden still do that? Like, do you and Caden still swap places and try and do the game with people?
Yeah, we do. They kind of change off who's doing it the most in a given time period. It's like who's got the remote, you know? So lately it's been River the most, who's like, I want to drive, I want to make breakfast, I'm gonna clean up the apartment, like, which is nice because he's usually at least productive when he's around, where like Ash just wants to sit, smoke a pack of cigarettes, and make me feel really sick. So yeah, it still happens. It's happened with anyone who has stuck around more than a month. And I've had like a few that would come and kind of just filter off again. And I'm always kind of worried that Caden's going to do it, just because I'm so used to having like some of them around, you know, that it's very like, it would be a lot like if your friend moved to another state, but forever and ever. And so it's definitely a thing everyone does. River's the most often right now. Out of the three of them, Ash probably does it the least. Just because I feel like he has the least specific wants. He's very much like, I'll wait till the middle of the night when no one's got anything going on. He's very patient.
Fascinating. So for our audience at home, so the thinking is that if you know, maybe you were once a drinker, maybe you were never a drinker, or I've heard this of people who are vegetarians, you suddenly find yourself, you know, drinking again, or for the first time, or eating red meat, or smoking is another big one, that we're all kind of in agreement that something has attached themselves, and that the thing that they miss on this plane of existence is what they want to use our body to do. So, I was going to bars, you know, my whole life, and I was constantly like, there's always somebody over my shoulder, you know, and I was always turning around being like, who is that? There's nobody there, but there is. And then I would find myself drinking a drink that isn't like a drink that I would drink, or that I would drink heavier, like, during the week than I normally would. And I'd be like, oh man, something's attached itself to me and it's using my body to do this. So for folks at home, if you find yourself having this experience, chances are you pick something up.
That's fascinating. I had no idea.
On that, I will say, because you mentioned like someone being there and then you want something, I hate chocolate. I've always hated chocolate. It was like my brother's favorite little treat growing up, so it's all we ever had. And I've never liked it. It tastes like straight vomit to me. But Caden is obsessed. He's a little chocolate loving boy. And so I've always had like very intense cravings when I crave things, and anytime Caden has been like driving for like more than normal or like longer amounts of time or more frequently, like it's like I'll notice that, like, it's like being on your period out of nowhere, you just suddenly crave chocolate, and like, and then I'll eat it and I'm like, I hate this. And it's definitely that vibe of like, there's someone else that needs something or wants something that they could have right now, and like they're gonna project that need, that want onto you.
And it's very rarely like healthy things, like, oh man, I really want to go, I don't know, hit the gym. Like, it's rarely that. It's usually like addiction kind of things. Oh wait, no, you have a story. What?
Caden at one point had me so in shape. I like to swim, and Caden loves to swim. And so in high school, we were swimming like 5 to 8 hours a day at one point. And I've never been so like fit.
Wow.
So it's not always bad things, but like.
But there's also this concept of exercising, you know, and also it's your time. So he's co-opting, you know, right. Your time. Wow. What a trip.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
If you had a question.
Oh, I was just going to say, but there's three others. Are they big enough presences to talk about, or are you just that you're aware that there's like six total?
There's not six. There were six other people who had the same situation.
Got it. My bad.
Okay. I was like, where did we get six from? This is exciting. I thought you were doing a read for a second tray.
I'm working too hard not to, by the way. Like, I'm staying out of your psychic space.
No, it's fine. If you want a deep dive, go for it. If you get
we'll anything, do that more in a more official capacity. If at some point we decide that would be amusing to us, but I'm not doing it today.
Got it.
Yeah.
The number of people that have come and stuck around is incredibly larger than you expect, but the number of people who have stayed around is mid. There are a couple that will go away for a long time, or like deep sleep kind of. It's like hibernating, and then they'll just wake back up one day. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to tell when they're gone sometimes is the situation. But there's definitely been times where I like have very suddenly realized, like, oh my God, Johnny's been gone for a year. Like, I don't think he's coming back. and that's always like this really weird, like, it's like you had that friend in high school that was out with the flu and then moved, and you're like, they're coming back. It's fine, but they're not. Like, they're done. And it's, so it's hard to like have like a concrete number. I would say there are five that are awake regularly. And that's going to be Caden, Ash, River, Mel, and Colin. Melanie is, I haven't told you about her.
No.
She's pretty much the mom of the group. Her trauma, traumatic end, she was incredibly violent, and was at the hands of an abuser. So she's very much, I don't want anyone to hurt at any time. She's very, like, I know Mel has driven because my bedroom will be nice and clean and I'm holding a warm cup of tea. She's very sweet. And then Colin remembers a car crash, leaving a commune. I don't know if it was a cult or like a commune, but he remembers he was very determined to not be there anymore. And he technically made it out, but not very well. Colin is very goofy. Of the ones that are around the most, he's around the least. Like, he'd be number five on the, like, tier list. But those are, like, my main guys.
Okay. That's fascinating. Yeah, you've definitely never told me about Mel or Colin, or if you have, it's been embarrassing. Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask, because you've mentioned that when Caden first showed up and then drove for a little bit and then y'all came back, you said you set boundaries. And especially with how many entities it seems have come in, I have a hard time believing that all of them have been nice or pleasant to have. Because it seems like the ones that are sticking around are for the most part. Like, some of them can be crappy sometimes, but like, they're not doing you harm. They're still,
yeah, you're not waking up in jail
umbrella.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think the reason I haven't woke up in jail is because none of them want to go to jail.
Yeah.
There's not a lot you can, like, vicariously experience when the host is in prison. Yeah. So I think that's definitely been a factor with some of the more less positive ones. And then there's also the fact that River is around, and River is an asshole and vague, but also very protective. And anytime anyone has showed up that felt very wrong, it was like I would just see River standing in front of me for just a second, and then they'd both be gone. And then they'd be gone a while and come back later. So I don't know what he does. I don't want to know what he does. All I know is that it gets rid of things that might not be great for me. Okay. So,
well, especially since you've only been attached to River for, like, what you said, 6 years, did you have any scary situations before this protector role came around?
Yeah. I think I've been really lucky in not having a lot of attachments that outright wanted to cause me harm. But there have definitely been times where, like, I have woken up with strange bruises. I've woken up in strange places. Like I said, Ash used to, like, smoke a pack a day. I swear he was trying to kill me. Like,
yeah.
But for the most part, I've had River for so long now, and Caden's been around, and, like, I've at least not been alone on the spiritual side of things. And I'm really lucky that the very first thing that attached didn't have these awful intentions for me, because I feel like that's definitely sort of a buffer. I don't want to go too into detail with it, but I dated someone who had an incredibly bad attachment. And when I say that, I'm talking, I ended up hurt by it. And it was like, I could look at this person and they weren't in there anymore. It was like looking at a rabid dog wearing a human body. Like, at one point, this thing attacked me. I had a bite scar on my arm for 2 years. And that was something that, like, we had to try and figure out and try and manage. Like, there are people like us, they can get negative attachments. And I have been incredibly lucky so far that, like, the worst that has happened is some bumps and bruising and coughing a bit too much.
Yeah, so. And I guess one of the things that I would like to know, if you're willing to share, is, like, especially with the main five, but also any that come in, what kind of boundaries do you have in place, especially since you've been doing this a while and you've had these people a while? Like, what are the ground rules between y'all now?
Ground rules. So I, for important context, relationships are complicated for me. I'm pan and poly, and I go in a lot of directions. You can't date anyone new.
Good.
You can't,
like, for real.
You can't drink. Yeah. I'm on medications. You can't not take my medications. You can't undereat or overeat obsessively. Like, it's all, like, if you were to fall into a coma and wake up and the doctors had to teach you how to take care of yourself, that is what it is like at first for when people come around. Like, the reason I had lost so much weight when Caden was around for that long is because he just wasn't f***ing eating. Like, he would go, like, days at a time and just not eat because he just wouldn't think about it. Like, he didn't understand again. Like, it's like teaching babies how to, like, eat their Skittles, you know? It's very, like, if you're gonna be around, I'm gonna have to teach you how to be a person again, because, like, I don't know where you stand. Like, you could come in and be like, I know all the manners of polite society and have my shit together, or you could be like, beep boop, I don't need to feed the human suit. It's definitely been like a learning curve. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You know, I think the big question is do you think that this is going to be how things will always be for you? Or do you want to make changes?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
It's like living with five of your closest friends that know things about you. You might not choose to let them know, but do anyway, and like have to accept it. And so we refer to the idea of like banishment as like an eviction. And it feels very much like, if you haven't hurt me, why would I kick you out onto the street? And so I don't know how it's going to be forever. Like, for all I know, like, Caden might continue degrading. Like, it turned from him being able to go out and walk around at like super insane distances to like not being able to leave. And like, for all I know, the next step is he slowly fades away into a void of nothing. We don't know. There could be science behind it. There could be magic behind it. But either way, like, we don't really have the answers. And that's something I've tried for a really long time to prepare for. I had a hospital stay earlier this year, like a mental health hospital stay earlier this year. And part of what I went in so concerned about was being put on like an antipsychotic or like anything like that. Cause I'm like, if I do this and it all goes away, I will have an answer that I have never been ready for. Mm-hmm. And then I got on the antipsychotics and everything's still exactly the same. So it's like, I don't, even if it was something I needed to fix, I wouldn't really be sure how to do that in a conclusive and full way.
Right.
Or is like
something you even want? What?
I don't know. It's sometimes it's like very much like I wish I had more privacy than I have sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's always. Like, say the same thing when you have a little sibling that comes in your room, but that doesn't mean you want to throw them into the fiery gates of the abyss, you know? So I don't, it's complicated.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things that a lot of us find that when we have a lot of attachments, you know, they're not fully here. They're, you know, they're in their realm of reality, and then, you know, they're smooshing into this one, and then they kind of use us as energy sources in order to sustain the here-ness. And, you know, I mean, that can just get unbelievably exhausting. Do you feel that there's a physical price that you end up paying to help support these entities sticking around?
Yeah, honestly. It's never been so much that I've, like, needed to see a doctor or anything. But there's definitely moments where, like, Caden will drive or something for like a day or two, and I will come back and just feel so wiped out and like tired. And it's almost like the worst caffeine crash in the world. It's like suddenly you just don't have enough to stay awake, and like I'll sleep for like a full 24 hours. It's usually not that extreme, but there's definitely times where like whenever they, if it's harder for them to hold their place, because sometimes it is. Sometimes it's like they just take over and it's like everything's fine. Sometimes it's like they take over and they have to really like cling to it. The more I've noticed, the more they're struggling to maintain like their space, the harder it is for me. And that's probably because it's using more of that energy like you're talking about.
I think you're right.
You know, but it's never been so bad that I've gotten like actually worried about my health or safety. So as long as that stays, like we're okay. Like, if the time comes and things start going in that direction, like, I'm prepared to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be a mortician someday. I'm very used to, like, the idea of death and, like, letting things go and, like, compartmentalizing and, like... And so, like, when the time comes, like, I absolutely, like, sometimes you've got to say goodbye to things and people. But for now, it's, like, if they're relying on me and non-harmful, like... I could be a good host. Like, I'm Nordic pagan, and we believe in hospitality, and part of that is like opening your home. And so,
Yeah. Well, and just knowing what I know about you, it makes a lot of it makes a lot of sense that you'd view that way. Just with the past troubles and whatnot. And so yeah, I definitely hear that. And it's good that you're aware of potential changes in the future, obviously, because all of this is uncertain.
Right.
And it's good that you're prepared.
And it's fascinating. Yeah. And thank you so much for coming and talking to us about those.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for coming on.
Amazing.
Say that again.
I have so many ghost stories.
Yeah. We'll definitely probably have you on again in the future. I'd love to have an official, if Trey's ever down, because I know Ollie's down, if Trey's ever down to do an official reading on
all the ghost stories.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on today, Ollie. Did you have any questions or things that you wanted to talk about? Anything you wanted to plug?
I don't know. I don't really have any pluggable things. Be nice to people. Fight racism. Be nice to kids or I don't like you. Those are my things.
Good plugs.
Those are the best plugs ever.
Definitely.
Oh my God. Well, thanks for having me. It's definitely been interesting to like rehash some of the earlier stuff. I only get to do that sometimes. So
yeah. Thanks for doing it in this space. We appreciate it.
Right, yeah, anytime.
I'm sure we'll have you on again, Ollie. So thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for the audience listening in today. It sounds like we're on our wrap up. So I guess, you know, if there's no further ado, then we can just say cheers and meow meow and tune in next week.